Hello, and welcome to Multiform. Every week, we get together to talk about the latest Xbox news, rumors, and the games we've been playing lately. New episodes post every Monday morning. You can email the show at questions@multiformpodcast.com, or you can follow us on Twitter or Facebook at MultiformPod. This is episode 257. I'm your host, Tim Shelton, and I'm joined by Spencer Rain.
Hello, I am here 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, and Gus is finally moving into his new apartment and doesn't have internet yet, so he's not here this week. Classic Gus, always moving.
Well, classic, but I just mean I feel like everybody misses an episode. We've all missed an episode, or at least both of us have missed an episode because we were moving at some point and didn't have internet.
Well, with Gus, it's hilarious because Gus always signs a one-year lease and he almost never renews. So this is we're coming up on our five-year anniversary of the podcast, and he probably has missed, I don't know, 5 to 7 episodes because he's been moving. Because this time he moved twice. He moved out of his old place. He had a couple weeks staying somewhere, and now he's moving into his new place. So he had to move twice, but
yeah,
we'll see if he makes it over a year. I actually started house shopping this weekend.
Yeah, I think Gus has lived in like 4 apartments in the last like 6 years.
I've lived in 3 apartments in my life, and one was when I first got married. One was when I first graduated college and I was a single guy. And one was when my wife and I relocated before we bought our house.
Yeah, it was 3. Actually, it's 3 because he lived, but he moved back in with his parents the second time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll go first on the games I've been playing this week because I don't have anything fancy. I'm just still playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla. My goal is to, like I say every episode, is to get through it before I play Mirage, but I also want to get through it before Starfield comes out because that's the next big game I'll be playing. I'm past the 50-hour mark, according to the in-game timer. I think Xbox says I've been playing more like 60. And I'm currently doing the mythological stuff that is set in like Asgard and Jotunheim and all that. So, man, this game is huge. Like, Origins and Odyssey were big, particularly Odyssey felt big compared to Origins, and then Valhalla gets yet bigger. I think they've truly reached a point of like the game is too big. There's just too much. But on one hand, it's good. You're getting a lot for your money, but on another hand, it does feel kind of repetitive. Also, the combat just never has felt as good with Valhalla to me as Odyssey and Origins. But we'll see how I feel as I get more powerful and get toward the end of it. I'd say I'm about halfway through the game based on the amount of the map that I've seen, which is funny because I'm 50 hours in. So that means I'm going to be at 100 hours before I've gotten to the end of the story. But I'm also doing a fair amount of side content. Like if I come across stuff, I don't just run past it to go to the story. I stop and do whatever's nearby just so I don't have to come back to that area. Not completionist, but I do just try and clean up as much as I can. But I see you've been up to a much more interesting thing. There's one thing on this list that I'm particularly interested in knowing about, but I'll let you go in whatever order you would like to.
Yeah, I wanted to say about Assassin's Creed Valhalla because you said something yesterday or today about being at Jotunheim. And I was like, yeah, I completed all of Jotunheim and had done everything in the game, including like Mjolnir and Gungnir, which are obviously the coolest legendary weapons. And then there's like I guess it's a glitch. I don't remember, but there was a special bow that was like the equivalent of Mjolnir and Gungnir. Like it was like a weapon that was like famously was like Zeus, not Zeus. Wow. Thor's or Odin's. I don't remember. Viking mythology. But anyways, but it was like something that you could only get a specific really annoying way. Like you had to hit a rock at a certain time of day up at Hadrian's Wall.
Oh yeah, I remember
that
glitch.
For like 20 minutes. Like you had to do it for like 20 minutes. And I had gotten everything. And then at some point afterwards, I think is when I did Jotunheim and I had 100%ed it and my save corrupted. And I was like, well, I'm done with Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I'm never playing this again. That was my final breaking point. Cause yeah, I was getting tired of it by that point. And you're right. I forget,
did you buy all the DLC or did you just have the base?
No, I didn't even play any of this because this was before any of the DLC.
Which is crazy because I bought it the bundle with all the DLC. So once I beat the game, I still have another 40 hours of more content if I want to go.
Yeah, no, I had thought about it because it was near when the first DLC was coming out when I was finishing up. And I was like, this looks pretty interesting. I am interested in this. But I was also kind of getting tired of the game. And then, like I said, my save file corrupted. And I was like, all right, well, I'm not. I think the thing that was very annoying was in Jotunheim, there's like one viewpoint. Or there's very few viewpoints. And one of them is incredibly annoying to do.
Because Asgard only has two, which is annoying.
Yeah, so it might just be one in Jotunheim. And it's annoying because you have to. It's one of those things where you climb up and then you have to like pivot around to another entire side of the building. Then you climb up some more. And then you have to pivot back around to another side of the building. And it's just... I don't know. It just was very...
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up.
Numbing.
The worst part, and I said this, go back on the podcast to when Assassin's Creed Valhalla first came out and I first played it. The climbing is so slow. It's maybe the worst it's been in Assassin's Creed. Like, you'll be going up a mountain with a like clear handhold, like, you should just be able to go up. And even if you hold A, which is climb up with, you know, up on the joystick... It climbs incredibly slow. So yeah, some of those first viewpoint unlocks, you're sitting there like climbing a mountain and it takes forever.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I do.
First thing I did was spend all my resources on getting my horse's stamina maxed out so that I could get around the land faster. Because so much of the game is just traversing like the woods to get to wherever you're going. If you haven't unlocked it yet. And the map is so huge.
Yeah.
I will say, I think it's really smart of them to make Mirage a game using a character from this game, but make it the old style of game where it's more linear, no leveling up, no like XP, making it a traditional Assassin's Creed game that you can beat in, you know, 20, 30, 40 hours max. I don't know if it's going to be quite that long, but I think that's really smart because Valhalla was... in the zeitgeist of Assassin's Creed for 3 years with constant DLC and updates and free content and stuff. But it also felt, you know, it dragged out maybe a little too long.
Yeah.
And now they're going to have this game that just comes out, no DLC, which they confirmed, I think. And it just is done. And then maybe next year we'll get the Japanese RPG.
Yeah. I do agree though, that the combat is pretty boring and just, I guess repetitive I should look and see while I can do this while we're talking about this, but I mean, I probably have 120 hours in Valhalla and that's without playing any DLC. So, I mean,
yeah, it's a huge game, and but Odyssey, it's not nearly as diverse as like
Odyssey
The Witcher
or Origins. I mean, even,
or those,
even
yeah,
Assassin's
even those.
Creed, those games, that's what kind of made those games better in my mind was just the characters I think were more interesting and the landscapes were much more interesting to look at. But
I do appreciate those little blue stars on the map that you come across that are like side missions that are like curiosities or whatever. Those are fun because they only like the max they take is 5 or 10 minutes. Like, and they're always kind of like humorous. Like you come across,
maybe I,
like I came across a kid that fell down a well and I had to like carry him out, and he thanked me by saying he was down there for like on purpose for some reason. And it was just, I don't know, it was kind of weird. And then they always have a silly name like Lassie
okay,
fell down
so
the well or something silly.
I definitely have significantly more hours in Odyssey than I do Valhalla. I have 123 hours in Valhalla. I have 158 in Odyssey.
But didn't you play all the DLC in Odyssey?
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And it had significant mythological DLC, which kind of set itself apart from the base game, which was cool.
And then in Origins, I have 109, so even less. And that's with all the DLC in that.
Yeah. I'm curious, anyways, because the mythological stuff is kind of the coolest part in some regards to Assassin's Creed in the RPG trilogy.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm interested to see what Dawn of Ragnarok is like, since it so heavily leans into, you know, Ragnarok. Also, I think it's really interesting that the RPG trilogy is the one where each game is like it. I never put together that they did this on purpose, but like the first game was Egypt and it had both DLC and Egypt mythology. And then it had a normal DLC. And then the next one was Greece, and Greek mythology was one of the DLCs.
Mm-hmm.
And then this third one is Vikings and what do you call it? Norse mythology and Norse gods and stuff in one of the DLCs and some of the base game. So it's like they hit three different eras or three different types of mythology. You got the Norse, you got the Greek, and you got the Egyptian.
Probably the three most famous in the West, at least.
Yeah, and then, I mean, the fourth RPG is supposedly going to be the red one, which is set in Japan. So I don't know that there's, I'm sure there's some Japanese mythology that I'm not aware of that they're going to dive into with that game if they continue on this trend.
I think the things that separate Origins and Valhalla to a lesser extent from Origins and Odyssey to a lesser extent from Valhalla is just kind of the sense of exploration was better in those games because the maps were cooler, to be honest.
Yeah, like, it was. Like, just a lot of trees in Valhalla. I remember in just Origins, so many trees.
When I first was discovering those kind of Isu things down at the bottom of the map, I had no idea what they were. I just noticed them on the map and I was like, well, that looks really cool. I want to ride over there. And I remember just those types of things. I don't know. It just felt like there's a lot more depth to it than Valhalla. But yeah, so
for you're talking past your mic, I think.
Oh, yeah, I have it closer to me than I normally do.
You were talking and it was starting to get farther and farther away as you leaned over it.
As far as like what I played this week, I've played actually a lot of Microsoft Flight Simulator for some reason. It just was kind of fun. Just flying around different places in different jets and airplanes and stuff. I think they're up to 13 world updates and I've got the first 7 downloaded and I'm not downloading the next 6 because I don't have time to waste doing that.
Because like it's in game. That's the problem.
Bit. Yeah. You can't really download. It won't let you.
They better
download
fix
it in
that for 2024. They're not going to, I know they're not going to, but
it would be nice.
I'm more interested
did.
In the second one you have on your list.
I know you are.
Did you buy that one last at the sale? Is that what you said last week?
I did. I bought Spec Ops The Line for, I think it ended up being like $6 after tax, because I think it was like $4.99 or $5.99. I think it's $5.99.
How much have you played so far?
I think Mad Max was $4.99, which is also on my list. That's why I know that. My wish list on Xbox right now is Mad Max, the Top Gun Maverick expansion for Ace Combat. Since I own Ace Combat, I was like, well, I'd be interested in flying these if it was ever not $20. Saints Row and Company of Heroes. But yeah, no, I bought Spec Ops The Line. I'm probably about halfway, I think. I looked it up. There's like 15 chapters. I'm on chapter 7, so I'm roughly...
Oh, wow. You're already halfway through the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty quick. I haven't played... I've sat down with it maybe 3 times for... Just a little bit. I mean, I think it's like 10 or 12 hour type of a game, maybe
I'm looking
longer.
Up the length right now.
Yeah.
It's way shorter than I thought it was. Main story, 6 hours. All play styles, 7 hours.
Yeah.
So that explains why you're halfway through it already.
Yeah, it seems like it would be pretty short just because I've been clipping through it pretty fast. But no, this game is interesting. I really love like the attention to detail that it has, for especially for a game from 2012. I don't really know how to describe it. There's lots of little things like shooting out the windows for sand to come in, things like that. Kind of the different weapons that you can use, kind of neat. There's kind of some squad based commands that I haven't really been using just because I don't know, haven't felt like I needed it. It's kind of fun how like it's kind of realistic in the sense that like you die pretty fast and the enemies die pretty quick. They aren't really bullet spongy. It's not like Call of Duty where I feel like sometimes enemies will take, you know, more shots than they should. It's interesting because I think it's who voices your character? Is it Nolan North? Is that who it is? Who's
the
other?
It's Nolan North.
Yeah, so that's kind of funny because like as soon as I heard my character speak, I was like, oh, that's a famous guy. That's one of the three famous voice actors.
You know what Nolan North role I can never get out of my head when I play this game?
What?
Batman Arkham City. He played a random thug. So when you're zipping around the open world, sometimes you'll just hear Nolan North be like, hey, get the Batman. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
He just played a nobody. He's not a main character. He's just Noah North playing a thug.
Yeah, for me, it was just like, wow, Nathan Drake. Nathan Drake's a Delta Force soldier. Cool.
Obviously, he does a lot more than that. But yeah, he's most famous as that.
Yeah.
He's the ghost in Destiny now, the little talking, like, little orb thing.
Of course he is.
He replaced Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, I forgot that he's also the voice of, obviously, Desmond in the original Assassin's Creed games, his other famous role.
Man.
Yeah.
Desmond and Lucy. That was when Assassin's Creed was almost at its height.
Doesn't he also voice... what was I thinking of? There's somebody else that's like... Oh, no, I remember what it was. In Saints Row 4, I think you could choose his voice for your character.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Jennifer Hale or somebody else super famous was one of the female options.
I think so.
I think it is Jennifer Hale, but yeah.
But yeah, so I've been playing that. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I haven't seen anything... You know, people always talk about this game being like... different because of how like real its story feels or just kind of like the emotional depth of it, especially compared to like Call of Duty or whatever, you know, insert other modern shooter title here. I feel like
the gameplay is unremarkable is what I would say.
Fine.
It's good.
It's cover-based shooting.
It's good.
Yeah.
But it's not like the gameplay isn't why you play the game. It's the story. It gets deeper and darker the farther you get in. So you're not even to the stuff yet.
Well, and I'm curious to see how it feels in the backdrop of playing it in 2023, just because I've played a lot of other shooters that have.
Do you know any of the spoilers for the game?
No, I don't know.
Or you say it in the dark?
No, I know there's a white phosphorus thing that's a little, and I don't even know like what it is. Like, it's like, I don't know if.
That's not the big thing though. So you don't. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know anything about it.
I will be interested to talk with you about it once you beat it. Not even on the podcast, just if you want to talk. But
yeah, well,
there is really interesting like meta conversation about the ending and stuff.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm interested to play in the lens of kind of these other games that I've played since that have come out since then that maybe have more mature in quotes stories. Because I feel like back in 2012, there really hadn't been a ton of military shooter type games with serious mature stories, you know, whereas I feel like there's maybe been a little bit more of that kind of thing in the last 10 or 12 years. So I'm wondering to see how it'll impact, and not even just video games too. I feel like there's been a lot more I've consumed quite a bit of media since 2012 that, you know, kind of would compare to Spec Ops The Line as far as like a mature, I hate that, stupid. It's like people talking about we want boots on the ground gameplay. It's like we want mature gameplay. We're adult gamers. No more of this kiddie crap. But I feel like, I've consumed lots of TV, movies, whatever you want to call it, that have had different themes and kind of story beats that. So I wonder how it'll compare in my head, you know, as far as if this will impact me in any way. That's interesting. Like you mentioned, trying to finish the game up before Starfield, kind of like in that space where it's like, I'll knock this game out, I'm sure, in the next week or two. And then it'll be a question of, do I want to go back to Jedi Survivor?
Noah North also voiced Deadpool in the 2013 video game.
Of course.
Which you made me think of because I own that on disc and I own a Spec Ops The Line on disc and I've owned very few games on disc. So that was why, that's how I jumped.
I wanted to get Spec Ops The Line. It was the game that I always looked for when I would go to like used game stores, but they never had it or it was like $40.
I wonder what price charting says it's worth because Spec Ops The Line. It's funny because Spec Ops The Line or Spec Ops The Series is like an average
nothing burger. That was like a PS1, PS2 era franchise.
Okay, so the Xbox 360 version of Spec Ops The Line, it's actually not that... So like a complete version only goes for like $12 according to price charting. A new in-box copy is $30. So you're getting gouged at those places.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I remember back in the day, back on PS2, PS1, playing Spec Ops games way back then. And I always get them and SOCOM confused in my head, because one of them, I just remember, it was like the first time I had ever seen like dismemberment in video games. And I was like 10, you know, and I don't remember if it was SOCOM or Spec Ops, because I feel like it was on a PC where my friend was playing it. And he was like, yo, look at this. You can cut dudes' arms off with your combat knife. And so I don't know if SOCOM was ever on PC. So it might have been the Spec Ops game from back in the day. But I remember playing, I don't remember what which, like, if it was like Spec Ops 1, Spec Ops 2, I'd recognize the cover if I saw it, like if I looked up on Wikipedia or something, but I do recall playing them back in the day on the PlayStation 1 and 2. In fact, I probably have, if I could find my sleeve of PlayStation 1 and 2 games, I probably have at least one of them in there somewhere. But yeah, so... I talked about it. We talked about Spec Ops The Line on the pod before. I feel like we talked about it recently because it was on sale like a month ago, and I was entertaining possibly paying it, playing it.
Yeah. So, anything else of note that you've been up to?
I think I played The Witcher for like 10 minutes at one point this past week. I've been playing a lot of Mass Effect. I've kind of been jumping back and forth between The Witcher 3. I've been jumping back and forth between Spec Ops, Microsoft Flight Simulator, and Mass Effect 1. It's kind of like I played Mass Effect 1 today, this morning, and then a little bit this afternoon. It's actually crazy, like jumping immediately back into Mass Effect 1 after playing Mass Effect 3. Like, they put so much more time and effort into that remaster of 1. Like, they didn't do anything to 3. Like, I don't know what they did to 3.
They didn't. I think they straight up said they just ported it and up-resed it.
Yeah, I think that's all.
Maybe updated the controls, like to allow like more sensitivity or something.
Oh yeah, maybe. But like,
I don't think they did anything to 2 or 3.
Mass Effect 1 straight up looks better than Mass Effect 3 in the Legendary Edition. Like, straight up. The only thing that sucks about it is you don't have combat rolls. You fatigue like immediately, and that's really it, because they made how powers work. They completely reworked biotic abilities and tech abilities to where they're actually functional and usable. They made it to where every class can carry every weapon, because before, in original Mass Effect 1, classes restricted the weapons that you could use. So like, you could only use a pistol. Like, you could equip a sniper rifle, but it was going to be like your aiming reticle is going to be your entire screen. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, if you're an adept or another biotic centric player, and you equipped a sniper rifle, literally the aiming reticle was the entire, like, you could see on the edges, like part of the circle, because it would be bloomed out of the screen. But they got rid of all that, so every player, every class can use every weapon. And so it makes it so much more usable and so much more fun. And the graphical improvements are pretty noticeable. So it makes it such a better game in the Legendary Edition.
Okay, can I pause for a second to interrupt you for some breaking news?
Sure.
Okay, so two things. Number one, this one's not gaming related. Apparently, while you and I were out of the house before we got back to record, Elon Musk announced that he might be renaming Twitter X.
Oh, yeah, I saw that today.
Okay, so that one's smaller. Here's the bigger one that's relevant for the podcast. Apparently, Xbox, after making all the 360 era Call of Duty games playable, they've brought Gears of War 1, 2, and 3 360 versions back online. So, according to the tweet I just read a minute ago, they've now brought the Gears of War trilogy, all the Call of Duty games from that era, Shadowrun, and one other series. Where was the other one? And what's weird about this is, I wonder if they're about to announce something like backwards compatible Game Pass, where it's like just backwards compatible games version of Game Pass. Or are they about to... I don't know. It just seems weird that all at once they're turning all these servers back on for all these legacy 360 games. And also, if they've turned Call of Duty back on, and if they've turned Gears back on, I would say Halo should be next, but the Master Chief Collection is a better version of that. So I don't know that they want to compete against themselves there, but not everyone owns the Master Chief Collection. Some people that just own a 360 may just want to play the Halo version. And I'm not sure what other franchises would be next, but like, they don't even own Call of Duty yet, and they turned that back on. So I guess anything's on the table, like old Battlefield games. Like, what if they brought Battlefield 3 back online?
Yeah. Someone, Gus and I played hours of in high school.
Just very, very interesting that this is, that this
Man,
is
you had
a
me,
thing.
I'm not going to lie. You had me a little nervous when you said like breaking news because I was like, either like China just declared war on Taiwan and Tim's like, should I say this on the pod or like something like that? Or like Joe Biden just like had a heart attack and is like dying, something like that.
There's a Russian nuke in the air.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, Russia officially nuked Ukraine. That's what Tim was pausing the podcast to say. Be like, I don't know if this is real or not.
No, I mean, obviously, Twitter renaming itself and Elon Musk's continued antics on the internet are not really.
Well, I did see that. I saw that like they were going to, I thought they were renaming it X because everybody was acting like this is really stupid.
Well, he's tweeting out a bunch of vague things. And I guess he tweeted out that if somebody comes up with a good logo, he would put it live tomorrow. And, yeah. Which is weird because you're crowdsourcing a logo. Are you going to compensate that person? But like, I'm seeing all these tweets of people saying like, I step away from Twitter for 5 minutes and now they're changing the name and like all this other like stuff like that.
So while you've been talking about all this stuff, I've been Googling because if you go to the Spec Ops series Wikipedia page, the first three have links, but then like all of the PlayStation era games, which are 2000 to 2002, do not. So I've just been like, you know, control Google searching this and definitely Spec Ops Airborne Commando, which came out in 2002, and then Spec Ops Ranger Elite, which came out in 2001 on PlayStation. Both of those on PlayStation are the ones I played.
Yeah, people are reporting that it's official. Twitter's being rebranded as just X. It's and stupid. If you go to x.com, it redirects to
.twitter.com.
It's a broken link.
Make sure you don't put triple X, xxx.com. You might end up someplace you don't want to be.
Well, Elon Musk has been sitting on x.com since his PayPal, pre-PayPal days, so he's had it for like 20 years. He got pushed out of PayPal trying to put it as, rename PayPal as X, and then he got unseated as CEO, I believe is what happened, but don't quote me on that. Anyway, back to the news. Sorry, I derailed you about Mass Effect. The Gears of War going back online I thought was notable since it's an Xbox podcast, obviously. And I didn't have it in the news because I didn't see it because I haven't read that far into Twitter today.
Well, man. I think I had said everything about it. I just said it was good.
I'm going to play the Mass Effect trilogy again whenever if we ever have a situation like the SAG after a strike right now in the video game industry all strikes, that's a game that I'm saving for a replay in the future. But it's farther down my list because I want to play games I haven't played before I replay stuff. I feel weird about that. How do you feel about that? Like, I don't like to replay or rewatch stuff if I have new stuff that I'm still anticipating.
Yeah.
Like experiencing.
Well, I hate rewatching and replaying most things, which is ironic that I went through a brief phase in college where I spent like hundreds of dollars on Blu-rays because I don't want to rewatch like most of those movies.
Because the industry convinced us that we needed to own every movie
liked. But there's just a few things, like basically Mass Effect, Elder Scrolls, I suppose, used to be more of that, Fallout 4, just like games where it's like I should be, you know, in quotes, I should be playing Jedi Survivor right now, or I should be playing Spec Ops because I just bought it, but it's like, I don't know, I just would rather kind of like diddle around in these games that I like and that I
Not alone. That's why Skyrim's so popular.
Yeah, it's like, exactly. Yeah, it's insanely popular on Steam. People are just like screwing around with a game they've put thousands of hours into just because I don't know what it is. I find myself doing that where it's like I should be playing Jedi Survivor, but I kind of would rather sit here and feel comfortable with Mass Effect for a couple hours before bed or something. So I've literally played through Mass Effect the trilogy probably 10 or 12 times. So like, it makes no sense that I'm doing this. I don't know. Game like Mass Effect, I just feel like it just doesn't ever get old for me for some reason.
Yeah. It's not like Valhalla where you get bored halfway through. It's much more, I don't know. It just has more diversity to the combat and the story can go so many different ways. That's one thing that strikes me about Assassin's Creed with the dialogue choices. They don't matter, right? It said like there is a couple of endings to Valhalla, but most of the answers to conversations, it doesn't matter. whether you're aggressive or trustworthy or not trustworthy or angry, it just doesn't matter. Whatever is the most fun is what I select, because it doesn't matter. It's going to have the same outcome regardless. But that's not what Assassin's Creed is. You know, Mass Effect in its linked narrative across three games, I don't think that's ever going to be done again, because games take 5-6 years to develop at that scale now. And so you'd be talking, you know, a 20-year development cycle or 15 years to make a trilogy like that. And I just, it yeah, seems ambitious today.
Those games came out in a five-year window.
Well, I mean, the Assassin's Creed trilogy, or I'm sorry, even Assassin's Creed, they used to come out yearly, but the Grand Theft Auto PS2 trilogy came out in like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get to the news proper, since we're half an hour into the show already. Okay. Let's start with the latest on Activision Blizzard King acquisition by Microsoft, which I have split up into three categories. So the first one is in the UK, a tribunal has approved the trial delay that was jointly requested by Microsoft and the CMA. So they said, hey, we want some time to sort this out amongst ourselves instead of going to trial over the appeal. So here's a quote from the Reuters story on this. So they said, quote, Microsoft's appeal against Britain's block on its $69 billion takeover of Activision Blizzard was formally paused by a London tribunal on Monday to give the parties more time to resolve the dispute. Microsoft, Activision, and Britain's competition regulator, oh my gosh, the Competition and Markets Authority had all asked for a 2-month stay of the case after the CMA said it would consider a modified deal put forth by Microsoft. End quote. So I don't know there's much to say there. I mean, I think this was expected, but that does officially give them 2 months to sort it out with the CMA. The judge or whatever, whoever has to sign it off on it in this tribunal, has given them permission to work it out amongst themselves before they take it before the court. And I assume that once they come up with a deal, they'll go in front of this tribunal and say, hey, here's the deal. Here's why it's good for consumers and Microsoft. And will you approve it? And then it'll get approved. Spencer, anything to say?
I don't think so.
It's okay to say no.
Well, I mean, I guess everybody's just like, all right, fine. We'll talk about this like adults instead of going to court again.
Yeah, which... it is good that they're saving the UK taxpayers money.
I was telling Gus this week, I texted him, I was like, I'm kind of like looking forward to when these Call of Duty games or Activision games are on Game Pass, because there's basically all of the Black Ops titles I skipped, except for the very first one. So like that's three campaigns that I have not played that I'm looking forward to playing.
And two out of the three are good.
Yeah, what? Cold War and two?
Oh, no, I like one and two, but three didn't have one. Four was hot garbage. Or wait, three did
three,
have one. Four
three was the one that was garbage, I think, and yeah, four didn't have
that's
one.
The one that gets all like, that tries to be too smart for itself and futuristic, and it just ends up being weird.
Yeah, I played one. I mean, one's the classic. Numbers, Mason.
What do they mean? Numbers?
Dragovich, Steiner, Kravchenko, all must die. Dimitri.
Okay, so the next phase of this, the next item I have, is the FTC has withdrawn their in-house review. So this is basically procedural because they were required to do this after losing in federal court, but it does mean the FTC is basically no longer standing in the way in any way, shape, or form, because they've removed their in-house, like,
I don't think they were required to. I think it was just kind of like, well, you already lost to the federal court, so like you're probably not going to win here too, so let's not waste time.
I put my sources in there.
Is that what Windows Central said? I didn't think they were required to, because I thought it was like the idea was like historically the FTC, when they lose in federal court, they often will pause or suspend their in-house review because then they can just negotiate with the
other
side.
I looked at a couple of sources. And this one I'm citing is Windows Central, and it said the FTC has indeed withdrawn its in-house trial, mainly procedural move, as the agency was required to after it was requested by Microsoft following the FTC's loss in court. So
I don't know. Guess I'm wrong.
But that and a couple, I did see it there in other sources, so it's not like a single error from Windows Central, which I really, Windows Central and what's the other one I really like? The Verge. do really good reporting on The Verge has done really good reporting on this acquisition. Tom Warren over there is really he was on vacation, funny enough, during the whole acquisition trial thing, and he was reporting it from vacation. And if you follow him on Twitter, he was constantly like bemoaning, like, I can't believe they're doing this while I'm on vacation. I'm here with a laptop on a beach, blah, blah, blah. But he did a great job. So shout out to Tom Warren. And then the third part of it is the merger was officially extended, the deal between Activision and Blizzard, or Activision Blizzard and Microsoft, because it expired on Tuesday. So if they did not close by Tuesday, they either had to pay Activision $3 billion and the deal was off, or they had to come to an agreement to extend the merger, or extend the merger agreement, which they did. And the terms of it are jointly agreed to extend the merger agreement deadline from July 18th to October 18th. So I think that's 3 months, right? July, August, September, October. Yep, 3 months. To allow additional time to resolve remaining regulatory concerns. And then they have three bullets of note, additional like details. The first one says Activision Blizzard is entitled to pay 99 cents per share to its shareholders. So apparently if you own Activision Blizzard, any shares, you get 99 cents. Okay, sure, whatever. Both parties have agreed that the deal termination fee is not subject to any condition other than failure to close. So basically, they still have to pay the fee even if the closing, the lack of closing reason is due to regulatory reasons. That's not an excuse. And the final bullet, and this is the most interesting, if the deal does not close by August 29th, the termination fee payable by Microsoft if the agreement is terminated will increase from $3 billion to $3.5 billion. So that's 1 month after the extension. If the deal does not close by September 15th, which is 2 months, it will increase from $3.5 billion to $4.5 billion. Any termination fee will only be paid if the deal fails to close. So basically, they have an escalation clause. So they bought more time, but it's at a higher risk. So now if they can't close by October and they take it all the way to October, the payment is now not $3 billion, it's $4.5 billion. If they do close, however, they owe nothing. So, and if it fails to close after whatever it is, August 29th, and they terminate the deal, it would be $3.5 billion. So they definitely increased their risk, which shows how confident they are that they were willing to say, hey, Activision, we'll give you an additional $1.5 billion if you just give us three extra months. So I'm sure Activision was like, okay, sure. So our stakeholders either get the deal that they were promised plus 99 cents, or if it falls through, they get $4.5 billion split amongst the shares or into the company coffers, however that works. I think either way, shareholders are probably pretty happy.
Yeah, it's crazy. These like different levels of what you get. It's like, it reminds me of like when organizations are trying to get people to buy like early bird on something. They're like, oh, if you buy it by March 31st, it's only $100. But if you wait till April 15th, it's $150. And if you wait till May 1st, it's $250. So buy now. Reminds me of that type of a thing.
Yeah, my favorite is when people do that and then they don't increase the price when the time comes because they didn't sell enough in the first round because their product sucks and there wasn't enough demand. I forget what that happened to, but it did happen to something. And I was like, ha ha, you thought you were cutting people a deal, but they didn't take you up on the deal and you had to make the deal permanent.
Yeah. It's like the, it's like when people like stuff will be on Amazon and it'll be like, you know, 50% off, but it's like, well, actually normally it would be that price anyway.
Gotta check it on camelcamelcamel.com where it shows you price history so you can see, is this the normal price or does it go up and down all the time? I do that on any major purchase on Amazon. Like if I'm just buying diapers, I don't check the price. I know what it's supposed to be. But if I'm buying like a laptop or some other big item, I absolutely check what the sale price history is. Actually, I do that on the Xbox store too. I use what is it? XB Deals. What's the one I like? I think it's xbdeals.net.
Yeah.
Yeah. xbdeals.net. And you can look at price history for any item in the Xbox store. So you can see, for example, I was recently looking at the Grand Theft Auto trilogy to see what the, when, how often it goes on sale. And it literally goes on sale for $30 once a month. So if you buy it in the 3 weeks of the month that it's not on sale, just wait another week and it will be on sale. It absolutely every month goes on sale for $29.99. Paying full price for digital games after they're out of their release window is almost insane because most games go on sale so often that it's insane. You just need to look at the price history and forecast, like, can I wait two more weeks to save $30? For example, Saints Row goes on sale for $24.99 every time there's a sale.
$23.99. Yeah.
$23.99.
I'm expecting to there be a big drop at the 1 year mark, like next month when it's been out for a year, because I think it came out like August 20th last year. I'm expecting that to be when it finally drops below 20.
Well, so we're in the summer sale right now, the ultimate sale, they call it every summer. So the next big sale will be Black Friday. So maybe by Black Friday, it'll be $19.99 or $15.99.
Sometimes stuff randomly goes on sale.
Well, there are the gold sales every week and the little one-offs too. But okay, that's enough about Activision Blizzard, unless you have more.
Well, there was something else I was going to say, but I don't remember what it was. So yeah, just go on.
Okay, well, we can go back to it if you come up with it. Okay, so that news was, I guess, kind of big. They extended the deal, but most people probably don't care. This is the actual biggest news of the week. Xbox Live Gold is going away, which has some good things and it has some bad things. What?
We were literally just talking about this last week, and like as soon as we stopped recording, it was like, Xbox Live's going away.
And it leaked last week, literally right after we recorded, and they announced it the next morning, right around the same time this episode last week went live. And then so now it's a full week later as you're hearing this. And so it was announced a week ago, but I called it a mercy killing for Games with Gold. Games with Gold hasn't released a notable major game in years, and they're finally mercy killing it because it will not be included. So let's talk through the details. Xbox Live Gold is going away. They're replacing it with Xbox Game Pass Core. First of all, before we describe any of the features and benefits, again, Xbox with the terrible naming. They now have Xbox Game Pass Core, Xbox Game Pass, Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. The names aren't so misleading, except for it implies that Core, Regular, Ultimate is a stair step, but the middle tier is missing things that the first tier has. So you can either get A, or you can get B, or you can get C, or you can get Ultimate, which is A, B, and C. And that's kind of weird, because basically Core, Game Pass, and PC Game Pass are three separate offerings with different benefits. Almost none of the benefits overlap between those three. Actually, I don't think anything overlaps. And then Ultimate includes all three. So if you get Core, you don't get anything that's in Game Pass. If you get Game Pass, you don't get anything that's in Core. They need to work on the value proposition and how they sell it in their naming, because it doesn't naturally progress people up through the price tiers. If their ultimate goal is to get everyone to buy Ultimate, maybe that is working. But here's how it breaks down. Core is $10 a month. It includes online multiplayer, 25 high-quality games on console, they say, and then the member deals and discounts. So that's like the gold deals and stuff you get now with gold. Then the $11 a month gets you console Game Pass. So that's just the several hundred games that are on Game Pass, day one games, and then you still get the deals and discounts. PC Game Pass, that's whatever it is, EA Play plus PC games, you know what that is. I'm looking, yeah, so that's just PC, and that's $10 a month. And then Ultimate is $17 a month after the recent price increase, and that includes everything that's in Core and console. So you get, and PC, so it's all three combined into one. So you get EA Play, you get online multiplayer, you get deals, you get Game Pass, and you get the deals and discounts. So here's the fine print of it. So on September 14th, Xbox Live Gold members will automatically become Xbox Game Pass Core members with no change in pricing, and they'll have immediate access to the 25 games that are included, which I'll list those in a second. So you'll still get the discounts and the games deals that are the gold deals now. They'll just be called Xbox Game Pass Core deals or something like that. Games with Gold is ending officially on September 1st, so August will be the last month with Games with Gold. So real quick, Spencer, prediction. Do you think Games with Gold for August, the final month of Games with Gold, will be in another like garbage games we've never heard of, or do you think they'll go out with a bang?
Got to go out with a bang. Don't know what really? It's going to be, but it's going to be...
I think it's going to be a whimper. I predict whimper.
Yeah. It's kind of sad, though. I mean, Xbox Live... I guess Xbox
22 Live, years or
yeah,
right?
But yeah, 2001. Xbox Live Gold, like that, I don't, whatever, but like, I mean, they're technically doing away with Xbox Live nomenclature.
Well,
which is
they
kind
technically
of...
killed it a year and a half ago when they changed the name of Xbox Live to just Xbox. Like they changed the name of like the network, the Xbox network. So the only remaining use of the Live name was in the Xbox Live Gold. So Gold and Live are dying at the same time now because this was the last place they used them.
I don't know. I feel like it's like Twitter renaming to X. Like you're giving up 20 years of clout and name recognition. Just feel like I feel like there's a better way for them to do this, but they are also historically terrible at naming conventions anyway.
So bad.
So it's not really that surprising, I guess, from they looking at that way. But I don't know. This is confusing. Core console,
they need to
PC,
stop mixing and matching because they've used Core, Elite, X, Ultimate, like. It's inconsistent, right? You had Elite consoles, which used to be the Pro consoles, but now it's the X console. And you used to have a Core console, which was the entry console, but now the Core is the entry level of the tier. But then the regular Game Pass doesn't include what's in Core, which so many people are going to be confused.
And also
because if
PC,
you want online,
it's messy.
It is messy. And they don't do a good job of upselling it. Let's see what else is on here. You'll get to keep any Xbox One games that you got with Games with Gold. You'll still have access to as long as you keep a subscription.
Makes sense from their perspective because if you have Core, it's like, oh, we'll just give you 25 games. But if you want more games, you got to give us more money.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's kind of like
totally an upsell.
I get that. I get that from their
And that's better than Games with Gold. Let's face it.
Sure. But like. It's basically it's essentially what I said that they should have done all along. They took Gold. They got rid of the games because they were pointless, and they gave you, which I didn't think of this. This is, like I said, a good idea because it's kind of like giving an addict just a little bit. They give you 25 games as part of that entry level, and then it's like, oh, for a dollar more, you can get hundreds of games, not just 25.
Yeah, but it's not a dollar more because a dollar more gets you Game Pass, but then you lose online multiplayer. So it's actually $21 total to have Game Pass Plus. So really, you're upselling to Ultimate, but that's the naming is all messed up.
$7 be $7 a month.
Yeah, yeah,
not 21.
So hopefully, they help guide people to the right option.
It makes no sense.
The naming is the problem. Like, I think it makes sense to go, we're going to sell you Core, and then upsell you to Ultimate.
You know what? They didn't do what I wanted them to do because I don't think you need to have Core and console. That should be one and the same. There doesn't need to be two tiers there. Because, like, I don't, like, why would you just get, I don't understand who is getting
just console. Add online multiplayer to console.
Well, yeah, who's paying $10.99 a month for console and then they don't have multiplayer? Like, they don't have online multiplayer?
Nobody is. That's the point. Yeah.
So why
you have
is
to
that
think
a thing?
Everyone is either on Core or Ultimate. Yeah. Nobody is on that console because it costs more to have that plus Core.
I mean, I guess if you're like, yeah, I'm never playing any multiplayer games ever. I'm literally just playing single player games.
But then there's those people that are going to want Core because they don't care about Game Pass, right? They're going to be like, I just want to play Call of Duty Online. Just give me Core.
Right. But like, I guess it doesn't matter. I guess if they're thinking as well, we have everybody that's in that latter category that they just want to play Call of Duty. Okay, $9.99 a month, whatever. And then we've got all these other people that they don't. But I can already see people getting Core console, assuming,
and thinking it has Core benefits.
Assuming that they can play online multiplayer because they've had Game Pass Ultimate, you know, or something like that, or they've had Game Pass console, and it was just looped in with their Gold subscription, and now they're going to be like, I can't play Call of Duty. Like the people that play Call of Duty once a month, you know. I don't know. It's weird. It seems convoluted for no reason.
Yeah, and. I don't know, like even on their website with the like little verticals and the prices and stuff. I don't, they just need to do a better job.
I also think
it's muddy. And if it's muddy, that means the lowest common denominator.
It's muddy to us.
What about children? What about children with their mommy's credit card? When they go, mom,
well, they'll just
you
be
signed
like,
up for
well,
Game Pass,
well,
but I can't play
like,
with my friends.
No, they'll just be like, oh, I'll just buy the most expensive one. That's what
Well, maybe they don't want mommy's credit card. Maybe they tell their grandma to get them a card, you know, for Christmas for 12 months of game past console, and then they plug it in and they can't play with their friends.
I get it. It's moving away from things like silver, gold, platinum, whatever. It's kind of the modern trend of minimalism and keeping things more buttoned up and corporate. I understand that, but I think for something like this, where the names you chose are confusing, like core, console, PC, ultimate. Like, okay, ultimate, I assume that's the best one. I'll give you that. But core and console, I don't know what that means. What is PC? The PC is different than PC is different than console. Arguably, they're the same thing, though. That's just weird. Like, they use poor words. They should have used better. Use better words. Why say many words when few words do trick?
Yeah,
I don't know.
So the 25 games that are included, I will say they've included some pretty like baller games. Like there's a lot of good games in here, although some of them are a little bit older. So like I'll run through it really fast. They've only announced 19 of them, but there's 25 coming officially. So it's Among Us, Descenders, Dishonored 2, Doom Eternal, Fable Anniversary, Fallout 4, Fallout 76, Forza Horizon 4, Gears 5, Grounded, Halo 5 Guardians, Halo Wars 2, Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, Human Fall Flat, Inside, Ori and the Will of the Wisp, Psychonauts 2, State of Decay 2, The Elder Scrolls Online, Tamriel Unlimited. And notice, 15 of those are first-party games. So they're only paying for outside games with, like, Inside, Human Fall Flat, and Among Us and Descenders, and that's about it. Everything else is first-party. But there's some really good games in there, especially as far as multiplayer. You've got Gears 5, the newest Gears game. Just got to make sure
that you get core and not console.
Yeah, exactly. Well, these are what are included in core, though. So.
As soon as I said Fallout 76,
Fallout 4, great. Fable Anniversary is pretty old, so that one is a weird one. Doom Eternal, amazing. Dishonored 2,
Fable,
awesome.
You could argue Fable makes sense because they want people to be like, oh, Fable. So when the new one comes out next year or whenever, they're like, oh, Fable.
I think it was smart to include Forza Horizon 4 because it's a great game, but it's the older one. So that when they get done with that, they could be like, oh, I want to play the new one. I'm going to upgrade. Same thing with Halo. They got Halo Wars 2 and Halo 5 Guardians, but they don't have Master Chief Collection or Infinite because they want you to upsell. Ori and the Will of the Wisp, great. Psychonauts 2, that's pretty new. State of Decay 2, constantly getting updates. It just got another one. Elder Scrolls Online, constantly getting updates. Another thing is a lot of these games have microtransactions, so like they can continue to monetize. Like Elder Scrolls Online has DLC. Where's the other one I was thinking of? Gears 5, you can buy cosmetics. Fallout 76 has a lot of stuff you can buy. Even Doom Eternal has a cosmetic store, but I don't think a lot of people spend much money there. I do think it's smart the way they're doing it. I just think the names and what's included in what tiers is confusing and silly.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, we felt like this was coming soon. Just unfortunate that they had to use this terminology, and also a little sad seeing the official end.
It is a little sad.
On the back of
Major Nelson.
Major Nelson leaving, yeah.
Yeah, I tweeted out Major Nelson left and he took Xbox Live Gold with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing, I guess, about this is, I mean, I am glad that Games with Gold is gone. I don't think it served value anymore, and I think they wanted to spend that money on games for Game Pass, and now they can. And they've justified that by putting games that were already in Game Pass on the core service. And I think that's a good place to be. I think people should... You're getting a better value getting some games that are constantly getting updates, like State of Decay 2 and Fallout 76, instead of getting some game you haven't heard of with Games with Gold that you probably forget to redeem anyway. So, okay. Well, let's move on. Number three, although a bunch of these had sub-points, so numbers don't mean anything on this show. COD, Call of Duty, the new version, which is rumored to be Modern Warfare 2, three this fall. They have confirmed that I think for the first time in Call of Duty history, weapons, bundles, microtransactions, operators will carry over from Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 to Call of Duty 2023, which they have not officially named, but again, is rumored to be Modern Warfare 3. So this also comes on the heels of this game rumored to be started its life as an expansion for Modern Warfare 2, and then they spun it out into a fully fledged Modern Warfare 3 so they could charge a full $70. And yeah, I mean, I do think this is progress, letting you carry your microtransactions forward to the next game.
Yeah,
this is a mistake that Destiny and some others have made where they didn't let you carry anything forward from Destiny 1 to Destiny 2, and people hated it.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of cool. I dig that if I was somebody that had been investing money into that ecosystem. I feel like this is something that PC players talk about just because they play the same. They'll play like Counter-Strike or something for years and years and years. But
yeah, so you can buy that new Homelander skin with pride, knowing that it'll also work on the new game. And as I'm talking about Homelander, our next story, Mortal Kombat 1, the DLC characters were confirmed. We talk about these when these leaked. But Homelander from The Boys, Peacemaker from DC's Peacemaker TV show, as well as The Suicide Squad, and Omni-Man from Invincible, the Amazon Prime show, are all, and the comic, of course, and are coming to Mortal Kombat 1 in the first DLC pack, as well as Quan Chi, Ermac, I don't know these names, and Takeda, and Lee Mei, Tanya, and Baraka. And the thing I want to say about these is Homelander, again, like Call of Duty, looks exactly like Anthony Starr. It's literally the TV show version of him.
I know, it's amazing.
Put in the game. And Peacemaker is John Cena as Peacemaker, directly translated. And then Omni-Man, obviously, it's an animated show, so they had to adapt him to
look but it like looks a human great.
Person. It looks amazing.
This is so awesome. No, this is so much cooler than the Call of Duty character skins. Because, like, why would Homelander ever use an assault rifle? But, like, him in a fighting game makes perfect sense. Like, this is so cool.
Also, like, this is hilarious because Homelander and Omni-Man are both villains that have no problem with cruelty. And Peacemaker is like in the show is like an idiot that is hyper violent. So these all three make sense perfectly in the Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, no,
world.
This like this actually like has me interested in this game because of I don't know, just cool. And also, there's something about Jean-Claude Van Damme being one of the DLC characters too. And I'm like, okay, so you had Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone in the last one, so now you're downgrading to Jean-Claude Van Damme. Interesting. Is Dolph Lundgren going to also be in there?
Well, but isn't Jean-Claude Van Damme in there because he played that character in the movie?
I think so.
The old movie.
Yeah, I think so. That's why. But still, they should just do that. Honestly, like every fight, every Mortal Kombat iteration that comes out, it should be like the Expendables movies, and they should just have all of the classic like 80s action heroes be a DLC. Because why not? Like, where's Chuck Norris? Gotta have Chuck Norris, Stallone.
I think Chuck Norris is completely retired at this point. I don't think he's doing anything.
He
wants
was in
to.
Crime Boss Raccoon City, though, wasn't he?
Oh, you're right. He did cash that check.
Yeah.
Man, everybody that cashed a check for that game, like, they shelled out money and they got a bunch of people in that game. What's the Metacritic on that game? Let's look it up.
I don't know.
Metacritic Crime Boss.
I can't
believe
Chuck Norris is 83. It's insane.
Rocket City. Well, hey, I couldn't believe Tom Cruise is 61 after watching Mission
he looks
Impossible
pretty good.
Dead Reckoning.
I mean, I'm looking at a picture, I guess, from when he was 75.
Crime Boss Rock A City has a 52 Metacritic on PC. Let's get it on Xbox Series X. 49 on Xbox Series X, but it only has 4 reviews. Only 4 publications bothered to review it, and I have only heard of one of them. That's rough. That is
rough.
I'm looking at
Chuck Norris's Instagram page right now.
I didn't know he had one. But while you do that, I'm going to go to our next story.
He posted on July 11th, speaking of... with a bunch of random dudes like Dolph Lundgren and Danny Trejo. Some other people. And some other dude, this dude that I recognize, but I don't know who he is. Oh, Tamara Morrison.
Oh, yeah.
And Agent Coulson from whatever.
Clark Gregg.
Yeah, that guy.
The Avengers.
Yes. Yep.
Okay, last story of the week. Game Pass editions for the back half of July. So a bunch of these are available already because they announced it earlier this week. So Tectonica is in game preview, available now. Tome, available now. The Cave, available now. Maquette, available now. Figment 2, Creed Valley, available now. The Wandering Village, available now. And then upcoming July 25th, Serious Sam, Siberian Mayhem, and Venba, July 31st. And then Celeste is returning to Game Pass on August 1st. So Celeste is the big one here because that game, it left and came back, but that's got really good reviews. Supposed to be a great game. A bunch of this other stuff. I've heard a few things, like The Cave. I've heard decent things about Maquette and Figment have appeared on my feed quite a bit. The rest of this, take it or leave it. I mean, Game Pass is always better with diversity, and sometimes I just scroll through and decide what looks interesting, so maybe some point I'll see some of this, but none of it jumps out at me. Spencer, anything here, like, scream off the screen for you?
No. The Wandering Village looked interesting, but I mean, I'm not going to play it. I'm still looking at
I wonder what's
going to
come.
Instagram.
Oh gosh.
He posted,
I wonder what's
going to
come in August
video.
Because
he posted a great I'm going to keep interrupting you. He posted a video in the gym August 2022 where he was like taking guys out. Like,
okay.
I mean, I don't know how easy they were going on him since he's 80,
I just thought he didn't
want to
act anymore is what I was saying. I wasn't saying he's not capable of killing me. Like, yeah. Obviously the guy knows his martial arts and could take me out, but
yeah.
Like, I just don't think he's interested in acting.
No, I don't
anymore.
I think he's like I think it looks like he splits his time between Texas and Hawaii. So,
oh, interesting.
Living the dream.
Hawaii.
Living the dream.
Yeah. Good on him. My mom, growing up, absolutely loved Delta Force, the movie Delta Force.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
In fact, sometime in the last 10 years, I got it for her on hard copy.
I remember that.
I think
and
she's
then
watched it once.
The movie he did with the dog, like Top Dog, I think is what it was called.
Oh, yeah.
That's another classic.
Yeah, I remember the dog movie too.
And of course,
I watched a lot
Tex
of Tom
Walker.
Cruise, or not Tom Cruise. I just said Tom Cruise out of default from Dead Reckoning. I saw Mission Impossible: Dead Reckoning last weekend. It was good.
Yeah,
I
want to see it. I want to see it.
It's the only movie that I've seen this year that didn't in some way let me down. I'm trying to think if there's another one.
Well, it's
I've seen more movies this year than any year time since I had kids.
It looks really good. I mean, it has an 8.1 on IMDb, which is pretty solid. I mean, Oppenheimer has an 8.8, so I'm excited for
I'd
that
say
this week.
It's right in the middle of the pack for Mission Impossible movies. Like, I really like 3 and Ghost Protocol a whole lot, and I like Fallout a lot. Those are probably my top 3, and then I probably put Mission Impossible 1 up there. And I'd say Rogue Nation and 2 are probably my least favorites, just because I find Rogue Nation to be the least memorable. But it does introduce some things that are come back for future iterations. But Mission Impossible franchise is such a weird thing. Like, it's so bombastic, and it's just like Tom Cruise on acid, but it delivers. It's almost the juxtaposition between that and here, Spencer, listen to this tirade for a second. The Fast and the Furious and Mission Impossible, both first movies happened in the 90s. Obviously, Mission Impossible is based on a long time ago TV series and other things, but the current iteration with Tom Cruise, 1993, The Fast and the Furious, 1999. The second movie comes out. The first movie didn't even really seem like it was set to make a franchise, but they turn it into one. The second movie comes out. It's the worst in the franchise. They both bounce back in a big way. 3 for Tokyo Drift was bigger, but still kind of a dud. And then with Fast and Furious, the fourth movie, but this is where they split in different directions. They both focus on over the top, absolutely obscene amounts of action and stunts and everything. But the Fast and the Furious goes hard into suspension of disbelief and use of CGI, and Mission Impossible goes into Tom Cruise doing all of his own stunts and doing everything for real. And it's focus on realism versus the Fast and Furious surrealism. And those two franchises are just so far apart, yet doing similar things. They're like on parallel train tracks doing the same thing in completely different ways. And they both just take it to 11 in a very different way. But Fast and Furious is kind of like the 10th one was not great. And it ended very poorly for a two-part movie. Whereas Dead Reckoning is a two-part movie. And it ends in a very satisfying way. Clearly sets up the sequel. But it doesn't leave you like, oh, man, I got to wait for the next movie. It's like, oh, that was a great movie. There's going to be another one. Cool. Whereas Fast and Furious ends and you're like, oh, crap. What happens? Why did it's like the movie just stops mid scene. It literally does, actually. It basically just stops mid scene. And you're like, credits? What is happening here?
Yeah, I haven't seen 9
or 10.
I don't know what they're, I think they're on HBO maybe, or
have you seen Hobbs and Shaw, which is that 8.5 or 9.5? I always get
I think that was 8.5. Yeah, I did see that one. That was the last one I saw. And
yeah,
I was like, man, I wasted
Idris Elba.
Wasted my time and my money here. I think it's funny. That came out the same time as another movie that I wanted to see that I think was a lot better and well received. And I was like, oh, I'll just go see Hobbs and Shaw because it's an action movie. Like, it'll be better in the theater than it'll be at home or whatever. Because the other one was like, I don't know. I need to look it up because it was like a pretty big contrast as far as like the quality of the movie. And I think I still regret it, but I don't even remember what it was. So clearly not that bad. All right. Hobbs and Shaw. So 2019. What do you think? What do you think it was?
I don't know. I feel like it's a good part to stop, or a good place to start the outro is what I feel. Yeah. Now I've lost my
train of thought. Oh, wait, I didn't know Vanessa Kirby's character was in Fast 10.
What?
Isn't she?
No, she's in Mission Impossible Fallout, and then she's also in Dead Reckoning.
That's why I was confused. I'm crossing my
eyes. Yeah, she plays the sister, doesn't she, of one of the characters? She plays the sister of Shaw, doesn't she?
This featured review for Hobbs and Shaw. If you expect Schindler's List, then you're in the wrong place. Yeah.
Reviewers sometimes are just the best. Man. Yeah, that's funny. Well, with that, ending on Hobbs and Shaw, that's the end of the show. I'm your host. I am Tim Shelton. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Shelton, or I'm also on Threads at TimJ22, because literally every version of my name was taken. So that's what you get, Spencer.
Man, some of these quotes.
Great outro, Spencer.
Oh, man.
Nailing it. He's Spencer Rain.
Yeah, at Makes It Rain is my Twitter account. If you want
Thanks
to,
for
my
listening.
X account.
Your X account. Oh, my gosh. You're
not
right.
Your X account.
Follow us on X at Multiform Pod. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
New episodes post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can contact us on Twitter at MultiformPod or by email at questions@multiformpodcast.com. If you enjoyed our show and you're feeling extra generous, please share it with your friends or on social media. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen.